Thanks for joining us for another great message from Futures Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to futures.church. And now for our message.
Well, how are you tonight, Paradise Campus? Are you good? The 5:30 p.m. service, and with an extra hour sleep, you're all looking very awake and alive. Who enjoyed that? How good was that? I could do that with that every day. That would be good, wouldn't it? But not possible, once a year. I am here to continue a series that you guys started a few weeks ago, asking some questions, and the series title is Why? Why? It's a good series title. Why? Why? Some nice colours there. But I've been asked to answer the question to the best of my ability, why should we evangelise? Why should we evangelise? I want to start with a story. About a month ago, one of our Connect group leaders was just, you know, at her local shops, and she saw a lady in the car park that was kind of struggling with her groceries in the trolley. And so she just went out of her way and said, look, would you like me to help you? And they start putting the groceries in the car. And this woman was just so overwhelmed by her kindness. She was like, why would you do this for me? And so they got talking, and this lady, Kate, our Connect group leader, Kate says to this woman, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I just really felt God lead me to come and help you. And she starts opening up about her life. And so this woman then starts to open up to Kate about what was going on in her life. And she told the story about how she'd recently been diagnosed with cancer. She was in a lot of pain just to go to the shops. It was really difficult. She was estranged from all of her family, so she had absolutely no support. And she was really, really finding it tough. And so Kate invited her to church. She was like, why don't you come to church? This is where we have church. Well, the following Sunday, Kate's behind the coffee machine. She looks up and she sees this woman. She's invited to church. She's like, oh my goodness, she came to church, right? And so anyway, she goes out from behind the coffee machine, you know, instantly, you know, they start chatting. She's, you know, introducing her to a few people. She comes into the service and hears the message. And then later on during the week, Kate kind of checks up on her, and her and our community leader decided that they'd like to go and take some groceries to this woman. So they get in the car, they take some groceries. Mind you, they find out she lives an hour away. And so they drive to this woman's house, and she invites them in. And in that moment, they are able to sit down with her and tell her about the love of Jesus, and asked her if she wanted to invite Jesus into her life. And she says, yes. They take her through the sinner's prayer, and this woman gave her life to God. Now, I want to tell you that story right from the get-go because, right, we often complicate evangelism. We think it's so difficult to share our faith, and so we just don't do it. But I'm here tonight to give you five reasons why you should evangelize. If I'm going to say the word, evangelize. Five reasons why you should. And so the first one tonight is this. God has actually asked us to do that in the Great Commission. It was not the great suggestion. Look, if you've got time, you know, if it suits you, then make sure you tell people about me. You know, God is not suggesting we do it. It's actually a commission, friends. It's actually something that God has called us to do, right? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20 says, though, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Listen to this is the Amplified Version. Help the people to learn of me believe in me and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you to do. And lo, I'm with you always, remaining with you. Isn't that powerful? Perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. Friends, we are not doing this on our own. And we often think we are. And so therefore, because we think we are, we disobey what God has commissioned us to do. And I'm here tonight to tell you that God is with you, friend. And he's given you everything you need to actually go out and share your faith. Do you know, I stand here tonight and I'll admit to you, it wasn't always easy for me. I grew up in a Christian family. I went to church every week of my life and I fell into the opinion that, oh, wonderful, you know, we have church services and so that's how people come to know God. But what happens when in March of 2020, we get told to shut the church doors for 15 weeks? What then? Does that mean no one's going to come to Jesus? And you know, it was in that time, in that period of time, that my husband Stephen and I actually took over the Salisbury campus. It was a great start to campus pastoring. I come in and 6 weeks later, we have our first leaders' night. And I'm like, we've got an announcement you've never heard before. And there we are announcing, we're going to close the church doors. And they're like, what are these new campus pastors all about? But anyway, right, we had a lot to adjust to. And 15 weeks of not meeting in church, God had to do something in my spirit because I realized I'd become a bit of a lazy Christian with my faith and sharing it with other people. I was relying way too much on church services and I knew the Lord had to do a work in me. Well, I remember being on a Zoom meeting. Who remembers Zoom? In fact, some of us still use it, right? And I get shivers actually when I get on a Zoom meeting. It's like, oh, okay, it's all right. Anyone else get that? Anyway, it's very handy at times. Anyhow, I'm on this Zoom meeting and with all the campus pastors and Pastor Ashley, our global senior pastor, is just sharing from the book of Acts. And he reads out Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And no joke, there I am in my lounge room and I've got my screen open and the Holy Spirit came upon me in that moment on a Zoom call. And the Lord spoke to me. And something changed in my spirit. And I believe tonight as I preach this message, that same anointing is going to come upon some people tonight. Because I had to admit I had a weakness in that area where I was not sharing my faith. And I knew that I needed to go out there and not rely on church services, but I knew that God wanted to use me because it's an obedience thing. It's the Great Commission, right? And so I felt this beautiful sense of the Holy Spirit come upon me. Do you know, 2 hours later, no joke, I led someone to the Lord that very day. That very day. And I tuned into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly. I won't go into the story. It's incredible though. 2 hours later, I lead someone to the Lord. Well, from that moment on, something happened within me. And I just started to see different. My perspective changed. And God did a work in my spirit and made me see how God sees people. You see, the Bible says that his desire is that not one should perish. And you and I, friend, are surrounded by people who don't believe in God. And the Bible says there's a veil over their eyes, right? But God has called us, you and I, to be his ambassadors. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 20 says this, God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making, listen to this, God is making his appeal through us. Did you hear that? God is making his appeal through you and I. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. And so God is, he's told us in the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Go and tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell them to come back to God. Reconcile those people to God. You know, we need to know that we're not doing it on our own. We need to know that God is with us. He is with us. You know, even just fresh from this morning, obviously we've had Easter last weekend and we had so many incredible testimonies and people coming to Christ from our Easter weekend. Well, a few weeks before that, one of our youth leaders really felt the Holy Spirit lead him to invite this woman that he works with who is just going through a bit of a hard time. And so he reaches out and he goes, why don't you come to church? And so a few weeks ago, she comes into church. I met her and her kids. And so she kind of opened up about her life. Anyway, you know, just some changes happened. And her husband noticed, you know, just the changes in her life. And so on the Easter long weekend, she invites her husband to come to church. And so he came in, I met him, and the whole family came to church for Easter, and it was really cool. Well, Sunday morning, you know, I preach the word of God, and I see over the crowd, and this man puts up his hand and he gives his heart to the Lord. Well, this morning, he came up to me and he goes, I've got to tell you something that happened this week. And I was like, what happened? And he said, I've never prayed before. But I went and visited my mum's grave site and I decided at that moment that I would pray and I'd say my first prayer. And I said, what did you pray? And he said, I just prayed simply, God, if you're real, can you show me? And so he got in the car and he went to go home and he explained that what happened after that was really strange. He said, I tried to accelerate and I couldn't actually accelerate the car. He was coming towards an intersection where the lights were green. He was able to go, but he actually couldn't accelerate. He couldn't put his foot on the accelerator. He said, I didn't understand what was happening and the car was slowing down and then all of a sudden, this car runs a red light. And he realizes at that moment that if he had have accelerated, he would have actually collided with the car that went through the intersection, went through the red light. And he goes, in that moment, I knew God is real. God is real. How did that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened. It was just a youth leader following the guidance of the Holy Spirit and just obeying and saying to someone he works with, why don't you come to church? You see, there's a ripple effect, friend. There's a ripple effect to when you step out and you obey what God is calling you to do. So the first reason why we should evangelize, to obey his command to us. Number two, because the harvest is ripe. John 4:35 says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. You know what? I've got to tell you tonight, we've got to wake up. And I hope you're still going to be my friend after this, but we've got to wake up. Some of us have fallen asleep. Some of us have fallen asleep and we're so consumed by what's going on in our lives that we actually just need to give over our lives to the Lord and trust Him with every part of it so that we can be freed up, right, to actually wake up and look around and see the harvest. See the harvest. Ephesians 5:14 says this, "For the light makes everything visible." This is why it said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." You see, God has called you and I, friend, to walk into the dark places and bring the light of Jesus into those situations. And you know what? I do this too. We often make people's minds up for them, right? We think, oh no, they're not gonna listen. They're not gonna do, you know, they're not gonna come. Then nah. But God actually wants us, right, to trust in Him when it says in His word, the harvest is ripe. Don't wait. Don't say 4 months, then comes a harvest, right? Be ready. The Bible says, be ready in 2 Timothy 4. Be ready in season and out of season. And so we've got to actually, yes, make plans for our day, but actually understand that the Bible says that man makes plans, but God's plans will prevail. And that's how we actually have to live our lives. We make plans, but we have to understand that the Lord's will prevail. The Lord's plans will prevail. So you know what? That's how I live my life. And every day, tuning into the Holy Spirit. How do you want to use me today, Lord? So this week, Thursday, right, I was at the campus, I was running a meeting with some people and I left and I was driving down Main North Road and I realised I left my phone at the campus. But as I was driving past, I saw this guy on the side of the road and he pretty much, it was like he had the contents of his house that he was sitting amongst. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, and it just kind of took my attention. So then because I'd left my phone at the church, I had to turn back. And of course, I drove past him again. But this time, I'd been praying because when you're driving on Main North Road, that's what you do. And so I was praying and the Holy Spirit said, see that guy that you passed before? I want you to go and get him an ice cream out of the freezer and give it to him. I was like, all right, Lord, your plans will prevail. I do have to go home and make dinner for my family, but I will go and get an ice cream for this man. And so I went into the church, I got my phone, I went to the freezer, I got a Golden North ice cream. That's a long story, I won't tell that one. Anyhow, I stopped my car and I see him and I knew exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say. I get out the car and I confidently, and you know, we've got to be wise with this too, right? So I checked all my surroundings and I get out of my car and I go over to him and I said, you look like you need an ice cream. And he goes, I do. And I said, here you go. I said, can I ask, are you okay? He said, well, actually, I've just been part of a massive car accident. We were on our way to a fishing trip. He goes, thus the pillows, the blankets, the fridge. There was literally a little fridge there. The fishing line, everything. I said, oh my goodness, are you okay? He goes, look, we survived, right? Could have been terrible. He goes, my son-in-law's gone to pick up a hire car, but I'm all right. He goes, but why would you do this? Why would you randomly do this? I said, well, see that church over there? I work there. And last week, you know, we ordered this ice cream van from Easter and someone unplugged the ice cream and we lost 13 litres of ice cream. And so Golden North felt sorry for us. So they gave us a box of ice creams and I've got them in the freezer and I thought you might like one. He goes, well, Golden North's my favourite ice cream. I said, well, how good is the Lord? So no joke, he starts asking me questions, right, about the church, about my life, about serving God. From one minute I'm giving an ice cream to someone, the next I'm opening up and sharing my testimony. Friends, that's why we should evangelize. because there are people who need to hear the love of God. And you know what? He didn't say the sinner's prayer there, but I tell you what, right? A seed was sown, and God uses us to sow seeds. So number one, right? We've got to obey his commands. Number two, Jesus said the harvest is ripe. And number three, he equips us. He actually equips us to do so. Acts 1:8, I referred to it before. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know what? Honestly, when we were singing that beautiful song, right? Holy Spirit, here's my heart, here's my soul, here's my life, take it all, right? When we were singing that song, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, for you tonight, that his presence and his power is available to you tonight. But I want to ask you, how hungry are you for the power of the Holy Spirit? How hungry are you? Are you just going to treat the presence of God casually? Like, yeah, God, I'll have your presence, but then I'll go and I'll do whatever I want. No, he is a holy God, friends. He is a holy God, and he deserves our reverence. He deserves for us to live our lives according to the way he's called us to, according to his scripture. And when we do that, what happens, right? Paul says, I boast about my weaknesses. Why? So that his power may rest on me. We are so concerned about, you know, what people think of us. But friend, let's follow the example of Paul when he says, oh my goodness, I boast about my weaknesses, because the Bible says when I am weak, his strength is made perfect. And so that's how God wants us to live our lives. Why? Because that's when the power of his Spirit can rest upon us. Rest upon us. That is how I live my life, friends. With no, I'm like, God, you'd use me? Really? All right then, I'm available. I'm willing. Go for it. And do you know, I walk into situations and I sense the power of the Holy Spirit. God gives me this boldness. He gives me authority. I couldn't care less what anybody thinks about me. And I know that's not me. Because when I was younger, I was like, I'm so worried about what people think. What are they going to think, right? But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, his power is what equips you to share your faith. That boldness was experienced by Peter and John in Acts 4 when they were being threatened by religious leaders, right, for preaching about Jesus. And so this is the prayer that they prayed. You find it in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. And this is what they prayed. And you can use this prayer. It's in the Bible. If you are feeling intimidated when you go to share your faith, because guess what, right? What you're doing is you're taking territory. So do you reckon the enemy likes that? No, he doesn't. And he's going to make it difficult for you. But let me tell you, God has won the victory already. And the enemy is under our feet. And we've got to understand that. And that's what gives us the power and authority to be able to go forward. And so this is what Peter and John prayed. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. God wants to give you boldness, friend. He equips you. You've got everything you need to share your faith, to evangelize, to tell people about the love of God. I'm sure that as you're sitting here, you can think of family and friends that don't know Jesus. And I know the Holy Spirit will give you. You see, we always think, oh, that's someone else's job. Someone else is better than that, better than me at doing that. But that's a lie from the enemy, because you're in their world for a reason. God has placed you in their world for a purpose. And that purpose is that he wants to use your testimony. Revelation 12:11 reminds us that he overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You've got to know your testimony is a weapon. And so you've got to familiarize yourself with your testimony. You might look at your story of how you came to Christ and go, oh, it's boring. Well, it's because it's familiar with you. But guess what? Your testimony could change a person's life. So don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Make sure you familiarize yourself with your testimony and use it, because God has equipped you. So number one, why should we evangelize? To obey his command to us. Number two, because Jesus said the harvest is ripe. Number three, he equips us to do so. And number four, did you know it's spiritual food? It's actually spiritual food. When we evangelize, when we do God's will, and let me tell you, it's God's will to actually go and talk about him to other people, right? It is actually like food. In the book of John, we read a story about when Jesus went to Samaria and he went to Jacob's well and he met the Samaritan woman there, right? Well, at the time, if you read the story, we find out that it's midday. She's out in the heat of the day. All the other women go in the morning, but because, you know, she's got a bit of a reputation, she wants to go in the heat of the day to avoid seeing all the other women. And so Jesus knows that, and he goes and he meets this woman. But because they've been on a journey, right, to Samaria, the Bible says he was weary, right? He was thirsty. How do we know that? Because he asks her for a drink. And he was also hungry. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says that the disciples were off getting lunch. So the disciples come back from lunch. Jesus has just spoken to the woman at the well. He's prophesied over her. He's led her towards truth, and he's changed her life. Well, they come back. And they're trying to talk Jesus into having some of their fish and chips they've just bought. And he's like, and this is his response in John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34. Meanwhile, the disciples, they're urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. Like, they know he's hungry. It's past lunchtime, right? And in verse 32, Jesus replies, I have a kind of food that you know nothing about. Did someone bring in food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other, and then Jesus explained, my nourishment, listen to this, friends, you got to get this tonight. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. I tell you, friend, when you wake up in the morning, right, and you're so unsatisfied with life, you're like, my life is worth nothing. I've got nothing to live for. Well, I want to give you a word of encouragement tonight. You need nourishment from heaven, and it is available to you. It is available to you tonight. And do you know how you receive nourishment from heaven, good food from heaven? It's by doing the will of God. It fills you up. It's supernatural. It's actually very difficult to explain. There's nothing like it. It's better than any steak at Gaucho's Argentinian restaurant. It's better than a donut from Port Elliot Bakery. And I love donuts from Port Elliot Bakery. It's better than Nonna's pasta. It's better than a burger at Shake Shack in New York. Now, I've had one this year. They were good. But God's doing God's will is better. Doing God's will is better. It fills you up. It fills you up with a nourishment that is supernatural. It gives you such, so you wake up in the morning and yes, you've got your plan, but you're like, but God, you have your way. This is your day. How do you want to use me today? I'm going to tune in to hear what you want me to do for you today. So number one, why should we evangelize? To obey his commands to us, because Jesus said the harvest is ripe. Number three, he equips us to do so. Number four, it's spiritual food that you need every day, right? And number five, you get paid with joy. Your payment is joy. Who wants some joy? I want some joy, some supernatural joy. John 4:36 says, the harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy, what joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. Friends, if you need some joy, go out and evangelize. Go out and share your faith. Go out and ask the Holy Spirit, who do you want me to speak to today, Holy Spirit? Yes, I'm scared. Yes, I might be intimidated. But the Bible says, do not allow the spirit of timidity to overcome you, but let love and power and a sound mind be what leads you and guides you. God wants to use you today, friend. There are people in your world who need Jesus, and your payment is joy. He wants to give you great joy.
I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about him, he loved you. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed his love. So he sent his son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, he said, I will take their place. So he died and rose again so that his death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and his life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good and loves you. He's a father, he's a friend, and you can invite him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe he's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.